What's up, y'all? This is Dave.
And this is Devin.
And you're listening to the Dave and Dev podcast. Dave and Dev. Gotta keep it real like Dave and Dev. On my job like Dave and Dev. Tell no lie like Dave and Dev. Some days I wanna stay in bed, but I get ready for the day ahead. I wanna complain, but I pray instead. Then I'm on my way to the Dave and Dev. And it go like, I don't need a crew. Don't play by he say, she say rules. Complain, no, we can't do. I'd rather have faith while G-O-D make moves.
Don't please stay cool.
All I do is speak the truth on things I see they do. I'ma sit on myself, no lie, I need grace too. We lit like EKU, yeah. What's up, Devin? How's it going, man?
Yo, it's been a while. It's been a while, man. Yeah, well, I mean, life, man, life. But how you doing, Dave?
I'm good. Man, I'm good over this way. It has been a minute. Remember that one time we were like, oh, we're totally going to record every week. We did it for a little bit, but, you know, like you said, life happens. But I'm just glad that we are back up on the podcast, everybody. Today is June 28th, and we are excited to bring it back and get back in the saddle. What's been going on, Devin? You've had a pretty big couple months here, ain't you?
Yeah, man. I mean, the real reason why we had to delay production so much is because we were getting close to my wedding date, which is fine, like. I love married life. My wife is
hashtag
awesome.
It must be love.
Yes, it was an amazing day. My wife continues to surprise me every day and how much she's just so loving and kind. It's good, man. It's definitely different from single life. So, I mean, when people tell you like before you get married that there's nothing that you can do to prepare for married life. I mean, they mean it,
right?
And so, but it's a really good transition, and it's been fun so far. You get to live every day with your best friend, so I'm excited for just living the rest of my life.
Hey, that's what's up. And listen, I ain't tooting my own horn or tooting our own horn, but if that wasn't the greatest wedding party, I mean, I mean groomsmen specifically of all time, I don't really know who is.
Yeah, shout out to the groomsmen. The groomsmen, and even the bridesmaids were cool, but I got to spend most of my time with the groomsmen. The groomsmen,
it was fire.
Listen, if y'all follow me on social media, then you see some of the pictures.
The
from
sauce, the
yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it was
yeah.
We there was nothing we didn't do that wasn't fun, and we didn't even do
one
anything outrageous.
Swaggiest groomsmen groups ever.
Absolutely. Listen, we'll have to throw some pictures up for the podcast page. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
For sure.
Nah, man, it's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it was a great wedding, and it was awesome to be, you know, surrounded by so many people that, you know, love you. And your wedding weekend, I had a kidney stone, which was super fun, super exciting.
Yeah. you know what? We got to talk about this a little bit, because people talk about clutch, and you hear people talk about, you know, Michael Jordan was clutch, Tom Brady was clutch. Now, this man, Dave Carroll, was clutch. Don't talk to me about no flu game with Jordan. Don't talk to me about Tom Brady playing hurt, doing all this stuff, winning Super Bowls. This man, Dave, was passing a kidney stone, as I'm saying, I do, in front of God and my now wife. This man is a champ.
I was literally in so much pain giving that speech at your rehearsal dinner. No joke.
Boy was sweating. I thought I was supposed to be nervous. This man was
sweating. Oh, my goodness. That was rough. Listen, man, shout out to our homie Ruben. This guy came and hung out at the hospital with me at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
He's a real one.
And then so much good stuff happened that weekend. But it was, then we, I mean, my honeymoon was in the Bahamas.
And you're on a ratchet cruise ship.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, the Bahamas was real cool. If y'all ever get a chance to go to the Bahamas for some reason, I highly recommend going out there. It's some of the clearest water I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and it's probably a pretty good idea to stay away from the Dominican Republic right now, if you haven't seen it. So Bahamas is probably a great option.
Yeah. All that for another time. That's hashtag
right,
turn events.
Right. Yeah, man. So you're in the summertime of your job, right? So it's kind of things slow down a little bit. Mine are picking up. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's good, man. It's good to be back on the podcast, and super excited to talk about a few things today. You want to kick it off with the NBA?
Yeah. So the NBA, as I've said multiple times on this podcast, is the most exciting league in the world, and only because there are some things that happen that. You can't write things better than this. So the NBA championship this year went to the Toronto Raptors. We skipped a whole playoff. That's how long
it's been. How long it's been, man.
That's crazy. But so it went to the Toronto Raptors. They finally got one. The Drake curse
is broken. Absolutely broken. Shout out to Drizzy.
I think we saw more stories about Drake on the sidelines than the actual players during the NBA Finals. Which, you know what? After all the trash talks and tweets and Instagram posts this man made, I'm here for it. It was fine. I mean, you got to be. And then, you know what? Something that I got, before I go on, we got to talk about just a little bit, is that this dude, Kawhi Leonard, I mean, we knew he was different, but he ended up being a freaking psycho. Yeah. This man is the weirdest man ever. And so an article came out by The Athletic, and it just talked about, it was his teammates in college, and they talked about how he was in college and how he used to be. And apparently he didn't say sentences that were longer than like 5 words.
Poor man gets paid.
That's all he used to be like. And I just feel like Kawhi Leonard has been trolling us this whole 100%. Time. 100%. Because he started off the season with that goofy laugh that everyone freaked out. Yeah, it was a mix between the Spice Adams laugh and the creepiest laugh.
Shout out to Spice Adams. My man's been coming through on the videos.
Yeah, he's blowing up. But, so Kawhi Leonard, so they ended up winning the championship. And did you see him? Like, he didn't really celebrate, like, when they
won. No, but he did during the, like, celebration thing. Like, I was like, he seemed like a normal person for a few minutes.
There's so many things. He just, the fake story is when he said apples, apples, apples. But it sounded believable because he's a psycho.
Right. You know what? Kawhi Leonard's like entire life is like that picture of Damian Lillard after he hit that game-winning shot in the Eastern Conference playoffs or the Western Conference playoffs. Like, that's Kawhi Leonard's entire life. Like, that straight face. Like, I don't care what just happened. This man, Kawhi Leonard, beat the 76ers on, like, and he did not make any facial expression except for one, like, yell of "Let's go," and that was it. I'd have ran around the court about 15 times.
So random. And he had probably the third best finals.
Absolutely.
Ever, like as a player. And celebration for him was minimal. I love that he's a humble guy, but it's almost a mix between him being humble and him being a complete psycho.
I agree 100%. Like, you don't know if he's going to be like a serial killer or if he's going to continue his basketball playing career. We listen.
Very, 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 very business-like. Yes. And that is definitely different from everyone else in the NBA when it's so it's such an emotional and petty league.
Oh, right, absolutely. Dude, the sit the juice commentary on Kawhi Leonard for the last several months has been glorious. My favorite comment, I think Adam made it. Shout out to Adam Smith. He said something like, I feel like Kawhi Leonard goes home and his family asks how work was. And he was just like, oh, you know, another day at the office. I got an award for being good at my job, you know.
But he's literally probably a top three player in the NBA right now.
Absolutely.
And he just really, there's nothing, he doesn't, he's not flashy. Not at all. If you haven't seen him, he's just a very basic player. He just does the fundamentals that you teach like six-year-olds at basketball camps.
And he's got those giant hands.
He just does them really well. So I'm a fan. So shout out to him. But anyways, so then the finals happened. We did our parade. And then the NBA draft happened.
Well, before the NBA draft, got to talk about AD. Arguably the worst, the worst trade for the Lakers that could have possibly been made. And David Griffin is a certified criminal because he stole.
Are you aware that the Lakers have four players on the roster right now? If the season started today, they couldn't even field a whole team.
Hey, they're going to sign one max player and have seven veteran minimums.
It all started with Magic Johnson just putting out a diss track against Rob Pelinka. Basically a diss track and went on every, like even on ESPN, like every day, talking about how horrible
this man was. He went on a farewell tour. This man went on a farewell tour to bash Rob Pelinka.
I mean, and everybody in the Lakers organization. So it's really skeptical what was going on. And then you get Rich Paul, who is LeBron's agent. Who
maybe should run for president. He's got so much pull.
This man has never dribbled a basketball. Has never shot a jump shot, but has the most power in the NBA. Now you tell me how that works. He has a front. He's on the front cover of Sports Illustrated, and he's telling people, "You can trade for AD, but he's not going to stay there." And pretty much
called the shot. Like a,
So if you're not into sports, it's pretty much like a subtweet saying that, "Hey, he's only going to go to the Lakers." You know, he can't outright say that, but that's pretty much what he did. He pretty much strong-armed everyone to get Anthony Davis to go to the Lakers. So they give up pretty much the whole organization minus Kuzma to go to the Lakers. He's on the Lakers now. They have literally four players on their roster as of today. And here we are with David Griffin from New Orleans, where Anthony Davis came from. Has pretty much robbed the league of everything because he's very good at making deals with other teams. And
basically 10 first round draft picks for Anthony Davis. If you think about what they got in Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart, and then all their actual draft picks for this year's draft and the future. I mean, it's just crazy.
So free agency starts on Sunday. I'm excited to see where people go. There's been a lot of rumors about what the Clippers are going to do.
The Clippers are big players. Nets.
Yeah, what the Nets are going to do. Yeah. I doubt that the Knicks are going to do anything. They're always hyped up every year. It seems like the Knicks, I don't know why people get so excited about the Knicks making moves and people going to the Knicks. I get that it's the glamour and all that stuff with the Knicks. But Brooklyn's right there, and Brooklyn's better.
Oh, absolutely. Right now. It's weird to say that because Brooklyn's been, for the most part of our life, like a joke. Like, the Nets in general. Yeah. They've had a few good seasons here and there. Like, and I'm a big Jason Kidd guy.
Don't disrespect the New Jersey.
I love Jason Kidd. I loved Vince Carter when he played there, obviously. I'm a big Vince guy. But, since they've been in Brooklyn, they've been struggling. But D'Angelo, I mean, and that front office, what they've done to get that team back in contention is crazy.
It's weird that, I mean, it's a side note. Kyrie Irving just made himself a free agent. He and he wants to go to Brooklyn is what it sounds like. But he's been he's kind of been a home wrecker for
teams. I know. He's got a really bad reputation right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but any guy who thinks that the earth is flat, I'm going to put him
on the side. I knew you were going to say that.
We got to talk about that. We can't. He's just,
I can't for you.
Yeah, no, we can't do that. So,
I feel like Kawhi, I feel like Kyrie's going to end up in LA, and it's just going to be a nightmare. And that's coming from a LeBron fan that's desperate to see him win this last title. And
I'm about 90% sure they're going to win the championship next year. I wouldn't worry about it if it's LeBron. If he gets some shooters around him, he's already got a running mate with Anthony Davis now.
And if he can stay healthy, I mean, they were doing well while he was
they'll win the championship. So,
and it's really primed because the Warriors are not going to be that good this year, I don't think. I mean, and they're going to – well, they have no KD, and Klay's going to be out half the year if he stays. Do you think that the Warriors are really going to give Klay max money?
No.
I don't
– yeah. Yeah, you know how good you got to be to get max money and you hurt. Like, Kevin Durant.
Oh, I know. And listen, I love Klay's game. I think he is – I said it for a long time about him and Steph. I mean, just being – it's wild to me that they're 1 and 2 best shooters, you know, on the same team before, you know, KD got there.
But. You know it. You know how good you got to be to get a max deal and you hurt, you're not going to play half a season. Or Kevin Durant not going to play all season. People still offering this man, I think it's like $240 million to play.
Yeah, he's going to get probably one of the richest contracts in NBA
the
main, history.
When he got, before he got hurt, he was, I mean, you could argue he was the best player in the league.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, he was on a tear.
Yeah.
You know me, I was giving, I'm here to give props for that. Dude, this man was on another level. Feelings,
I was upset the way LeBron and Rich Paul handled the Lakers situation. It's just, I can't make greatest of all time arguments anymore for LeBron. I want to put that on the record.
You're hating on that, though. You're letting your personal vendetta happen in
you
front
know
of your
what?
Eyes, bro.
I feel this way. So free agency is Sunday. Another podcast next week. I will go on a rant and I will tell everyone why I think that LeBron GOAT argument has to stop. And now it is undoubtedly, without a question, Michael Jordan.
I can't believe you're even saying that.
But that's what we're looking forward to. In the offseason with the NBA.
Yeah, it's been a good one. Draft was really good. A lot of good players.
NFL is right around the corner.
It is.
I mean, I can't wait for it. This is the boring time of the summer. I'm sorry, baseball fans, but I don't really want to sit and watch 3 hours of people playing catch. You know, it's just not my thing.
Baseball, we'll talk about y'all in October. You can have like 10 minutes of spotlight.
When it actually matters, but for 162 games, you cannot tell me that every game matters. I'm sorry.
There's got to be, like, they need to shorten the season down to, like, 60 games and make them, like, just completely ultra-competitive. Like, I need to see, like, I don't know. I need to see there be rules and regulations that require teams to hop into a boxing ring to finish it out.
I can name 10 sports that I would rather watch than watch a full game of baseball in the middle of the summer.
It's so hard. It's just not – when I was a kid, I watched baseball all day long. But I just – as an adult,
I like going to the games. I just don't – I can't do
– Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Like, I would 100% rather watch – a Sunday in golf than watch any single baseball game.
No, that's
and that's saying something.
I don't know. They're just not very entertaining. So, anyways, we're in the boring part of the summer, and I am excited for something to come up. It's getting to the point. I'm looking forward to the NBA summer summer games. With,
yes, summer league's about to be on fire.
And then NFL's starting back up soon, and college starting up.
Your Browns are going to be, I mean, they're looking up, man.
I hope so, but it sounds like my Bengals are still going to be terrible. Like Cleveland, every time in my Cleveland sports fan life, I get my hopes up, I'm going to get very, very disappointed. And I'm just trying not to get my hopes up too much this year. But I'm excited. We'll see if.
All right, we won't gas them up too terribly much then.
But if I win, if they win, I said, like I'm on the team. I ain't even strapped up any pads.
Right.
If they win, I'm about to be ignorant on this podcast. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, I know you will.
It's about to get real.
I'm just saying, I'm here for that. I don't think the people are ready because they weren't like – we weren't real, like, in this podcast game when the Cavs won, and that was serious.
Yeah, that was a big deal. But I tell people all the time, like, people like the Cavs because LeBron, and they don't really rock with the Cavs. It's really the Indians and the Browns that are the fan favorites.
Well, and the Browns, their fan base has been long running. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really feel like, even as they've been bad, the Browns fan base has still been
bad. Yeah, a Browns championship
would probably
mean the most in Cleveland than any other championship.
I agree. Like, I feel like the city would probably just, like, collapse if they won a
championship.
Without a doubt.
And probably me too. Wherever I'm at this time.
It's just a wrap. You're done.
Pass out. I can't believe what would happen. So, if the Browns ever make the Super Bowl, you probably want to watch the Super Bowl with me because I'm going to pass out if they win.
If the Browns make the Super Bowl, we will 100% have to do some sort of live recording, live streaming. I'm here for all of the ignorance that will occur during that
game. Yeah, watching Cleveland sports games with me is it's just 2 hours of your heart just palpitating. It's just stressful.
As somebody that's watched many of them, I agree. Yes.
So NFL season, looking forward to it. I'm sorry about your Bengals in advance.
Let's not even talk about it. I'm already sitting here thinking about how I'm going to try to find another team to latch.
There's always
on
another
to.
Team in Ohio to cheer for. I'm just saying the bandwagon is big. We haven't gone very far, but we got a lot of potential.
I said it last year, dude. I really was pulling for them to get better. Like, Hard Knocks just gave me just a special place in my heart for them, for that team. I really like what they had put together and still do.
NBA is so great. There's no one's really talking about the NFL right now because there's nothing really to talk about in the NFL right now. So, we go on to our current event of the week. Dave, let's hear it.
So the Democratic debates were this week, which is a big deal because there's like 497 Democrats running
everybody
for president.
And their mama is running.
Everybody was like, you know what? I think I have a really good way to
you
win this presidency.
Opinion?
Let me
probably
hop up
running.
In here and talk. So needless to say, they had two debate nights. I think like 10 candidates
yes.
per night almost?
Yes.
Something
I think
crazy.
A total of 26 candidates running right now.
So the first night, your headliner was pretty much Elizabeth Warren. And I know you watched the debate. Like, what were your like kind of thought processes from it?
It was interesting knowing that Elizabeth Warren had such a lead going into that first night. Cory Booker was also on the stage. And there was also...
Oh, yeah, Cory Booker,
De Blasio, the mayor of New York, he was also there as well. So some people that people have definitely heard of, Tulsi Gabbard, I believe her name is, from Hawaii. She was also she was also there. And then Julian Castro, I actually really kind of liked some of the things he said. It just really it was interesting. The Democratic Party as a whole. And for the record, I'm very, very, very much just a keep it real person when it comes
Absolutely.
To politics. I don't really have a favorite side. But the Democratic Party is really interesting right now, that it seems like to be a Democrat now, you have to be pro-choice, which is really difficult for Christians to get behind. I know.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And try to reconcile with. But and it's just some of the things that have happened over the last couple of months. Some of these states battling for things. It started off with New York. We talked about that on our podcast. Then the response was places like Ohio, Georgia, and Louisiana making more pro-life legislation. And then you get places like Alabama who took it to the opposite extreme, where they would jail people for practicing any sort of abortion. But then, you know, you get another response from places like Maine and Illinois, where they also make kind of extreme measures when it comes to pro-choice. So it's going to be a very interesting campaign season. But you can kind of tell that these states are kind of just pushing for it to go to Supreme Court. For the Supreme Court to make another decision on Roe v. Wade, which we'll see what happens with that. Personally, I favor the pro-life side. So we'll see what comes out of that. It's going to be interesting debates, but that's something that everyone kind of legislated for. And then there was something else that was universal health care was obviously something that people talk about. Mm-hmm. It's been a platform for the Democratic Party for a couple of years now. And then obviously you're going to see a lot of people talking about undocumented immigrants and the situations that are going on at the border, which is
a crisis, by the way.
Like I've said on this podcast, I'm not for open borders, but I will say on this podcast, just because I'm not for open borders does not mean that I'm for the caging of children and families. That's not
true.
This is America. We were built on freedoms and liberties. We can definitely find another way than capturing people and putting them in cages and treating them like they are inhumane.
Like dogs. And giving them a toothpaste, toothbrush, soap.
Yes.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So those are some of the hot topics that you'll find in the debates. Night two came. That was obviously a lot more heavy hitters. Yeah, Joe Biden, who's obviously by far and away the favorite right now, and you had people,
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, you had her,
the mayor from South Bend,
Peter Buttigieg. Indiana. You had Andrew Yang is kind of a guy who's kind of came out of nowhere. He's an entrepreneur. I'm pretty interested in some of the things he says because he's got by far the most policies of anyone. It's kind of hard to have more policies than Elizabeth Warren right now, so I'm really impressed to see what he's going to be doing. And then Bernie Sanders, obviously, the feel the burn is still there.
he's still kicking.
So it's interesting. We'll see what happens from what the response is from these.
You called it though. You called it before the thing that you know they were going to come at Joe Biden's neck, and
I mean you have to. He had but, like 40% of the votes right now of the 26 candidates. I mean, that's
a
he's got a lot margin. Of the Obama hype towards him. It's also really interesting that people should they should also be paying attention to is that every single one of the Democrats has said that they are for repealing the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment was a bipartisan agreement that said that you cannot use your federal tax dollars to support abortions. And they want to repeal that, saying that we, the people, should have to pay our taxes to help people have more access to have abortions. Very interesting. Biden has flip flopped on that literally three times in 3 days. He did that.
I think that a lot of people are going to waver support after some of these debates because he's like, I'll be honest with you. Like coming into this, I really thought he was really the favorite, obviously, But I think that you saw Kamala Harris really step up last night and kind of be, she took over a little bit. And I found it really interesting because she was unafraid to, she didn't just like come at him reckless, but she was very poignant and direct about how she felt about his, what he came out with about working with the senators during the segregation time. I would
love, man, you know what? As the season goes on, we'll just keep going on about these people who are running to give the listeners a little bit more information about all a million candidates that are running from the Democratic Party.
Right.
Elizabeth Warren has a history as well. It's just gonna be interesting to see how people, because the first debate, the only time, like, they're only throwing shots at Biden because he's got such a big lead, but no one really throws shots at anyone. I mean, you saw in the first night, Julian Castro kind of threw a little bit of shots at Beto. That's because Beto had kind of the hype. And if we're just being honest, Beto is a terrible debater. And I could see why he lost in Texas. I mean, the guy is really intelligent, really smart, but he is a terrible public speaker. When, like, on the spot, when you can't write down everything, you just got to know your stuff. And he just got embarrassed that day. It was bad.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this, I guess, political season as much as you could be excited about one. I feel like it's the first time I've ever been super attentive starting this early, if that makes sense. And so I feel like I'm either one, maturing, or two, I just refuse to like not be informed. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So I think that that's a big piece of it because, you know, if I were to not watch these debates and I were to not be attentive, I'll be honest with you, I'd probably just feel like, oh, this is a wrap. You know, Joe Biden worked for, you know, with Obama, like, it's over. This is over. Like the third, you know, time the guy's
ran for president. Like, he's definitely not over. He's not very good on policy. If we're just talking about just straight policy right now, a lot of Elizabeth Warren's policy is just better. But what Biden is going to do, since he's so poor at making policy, is he's going to take things from these other candidates and try to make it his own, which is why he is. I mean, if we're just going to be honest with him switching back and forth on the Hyde Amendment thing is the most spineless thing you can do as a politician, to switch back and forth because you've been lobbied by a couple people. The American people have spoken. And even on the Hyde Amendment, the majority of Americans will say, even though it's close, I will admit that it is a close decision. The majority of Americans say that the Hyde Amendment should be in place. If you look at polls, at Pew polls, but when people go back and forth, when you go back and forth because of a couple people with money who just lobbied you, you are spineless. And how can you trust anyone like that as your president? So
yeah,
early on in the game, if you're gonna keep switching your ideas and stances that we thought you had,
you have to be suspect.
I don't know how anyone could trust you as a president. Hopefully he changes, but we'll see.
That sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this is by no means me endorsing a particular person, endorsing a particular party.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm just saying, if we're going to talk about politics, we got to just be completely real about it.
Just keep it 100.
All right.
Listen, that's some good combo. I mean, we can definitely continue like this conversation, because I'm assuming here in the next month or so, we're going to probably see, I'd say, at least about half those people drop.
I don't know. I mean, you would hope, but people are persistent. Nevertheless, they persisted. That's a shout out to Hillary Clinton joke. Yeah. All right. So, last topic of the day. We have to talk about this just a little bit. Is that rapper, I guess you can call him an activist now too, Nipsey Hussle died a few months ago. He got shot in gang violence, which, that's a whole different conversation that we can talk about forever. But he got shot in gang violence right outside of his store. Nipsey Hussle was known for his slogan kind of thing. It was the marathon continues. I didn't listen to him as of late. Mm-hmm. I listened to him a lot when I was in college, just because he was just an underground guy that I thought was pretty good. And then when he got more popular, I thought me in college, I guess, thought it was not cool to listen to him anymore. But he was big on ownership and black ownership and minority ownership and taking back your own area. So, Dave, you work in a business setting. Can you tell me a little bit more about your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I obviously I work in like corporate America, so it's a little bit different. But you know, one thing that he promoted, and again, I'm kind of I feel like really uneducated about Nipsey per se, because honestly, I didn't really know him until after death. I'm unfamiliar with his world. You know, I knew his name, but. You know, just hearing a lot of stories about him and the fact that he bought up so many of the businesses in Crenshaw, which is, you know, a really bad neighborhood in California, in L.A. And he bought a bunch of businesses and he helped people buy businesses. You know, there's all these pictures of him, you know, hey, here's $10,000 to get you started. Like, hey, here's this. Like, let me get you the right connection. And I was just really encouraged, you know, because – I see my family and I see, you know, people that I'm around that are minorities and like how crucial it is to see their generations to come be changed by the fact that they are willing to take out, you know, a step of faith and be owners in businesses and things like that. And I just find it so cool too, because, you know, I'm really encouraged to see athletes and rappers and people in all walks of life that are willing to say, okay, well, let me step out of my niche, let me step out of my comfort zone, and let me go do this. And so, like, for me, I think about like LeBron, like his business in terms of what they, you know, when he was first came up in Cleveland and went to Miami, you know, him and his wife bought businesses and bought ownership stakes and different things. And then, you know, that was kind of, he's kind of the first one that I can really remember. And then, you know, obviously, like, since then, we've seen a bunch of people do that. But most recently, what kind of inspired this whole conversation was because yesterday I saw that, or yesterday or the day before, I saw that Meek Mill became an owner in Lids. And I just find it so cool that people are, like, stepping outside of their legacy to create a potential legacy for their future beyond their gifting per se, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I just find that so cool, and I think it's encouraging, and I think people should really fight for ownership of things, you know, and especially for persons of color that traditionally in our country have not been owners of anything. In fact, they've been the laborers for, yeah, you know, the white majority owners. And so I just find it really cool, and you know, you may be able to speak to it from a, you know, from the black perspective, but I think about my family, you know, the Latinos, like we don't, like there's not much we own in this country. You know, I mean, what I'm saying?
There's definitely,
and so to me, I'm always really inspired.
There's definitely a history of economic disparity between races, and we can go into a rant this way, but I'm reading a history book, just kind of like how did things come to be in America? But there's a way. There's a reason and there's a way that people kind of kept economic power. In the 1800s, it was mostly about land. And then Reconstruction era, it was more about just holding on to land and trying to kind of expansion kind of thing happening. But how that turned into generational wealth that people had.
Yep, straight up.
I mean, and largely that's in part because there's groups of people who were given broken promises that think that they were going to be compensated for the wrongs that were done, and it just never got done. So now we're in this area. We're in this after all these things. We've had the Jim Crow era. We had redlining. We had the war on drugs, and we have where we're at today. Okay, after all these things, you have these small pockets of areas where minority populations live. And it's kind of interesting, over like the last 20 years, you've seen a lot of gentrification happen, where yep. people are coming in and they're buying up these places that were once considered hoods and ghettos, and they're trying to renovate them to be more modern and hip. But the problem with that is you drive up prices and people just can't afford there, and you drive the people who live yep. there for decades on decades, and you drive them out. I like the Nipsey Hussle idea because he's telling people to, yeah, you can own, you can own it, and then you can kind of defend yourselves against these kind of things, which is it's very interesting strategy. I kind of like it, just in the fact that you see people
yeah, for sure.
taking more chances out there to take ownership and do things that they're, you know, run things their way and own their community.
And I think that, you know, I'll like finish my like thought process off with this. Like, I think ownership looks so many in so many different ways. I think that, you know, from even a basic level, just taking ownership of your actions. Mm-hmm. And if you do work for somebody, you know, or corporate America or whatever, like taking ownership of being the best you can be. I think we're called to that as believers yeah. to, you know, especially to run our race and to really give it our all mm-hmm. every day. And that's a really good sign of our faith. But I'll leave you this quote because it really inspired me. There's a guy named Richard Montañez. He's a first generation Mexican immigrant, and he worked for Frito-Lay. And I read the story about two, 3 weeks ago, and he was a janitor. Well, first of all, his family picked grapes, 8 of them. They made like $1 a day as a family. This was back in like the 60s. So, or 60s and 70s. So he interviewed for a job as a janitor, could barely speak English, and he got the job, and his dad told him to go be the best janitor in the world, and that every time he left a room, to make sure that they knew that Richard Montañez did the cleaning of that room. So there was this memo sent out, long story short, and it was encouraging all the employees to take ownership and act like CEOs and find ways that they can help improve the company. And basically they were really just, you know, scrapping for ideas of things to help better the environment. Well, Richard took that upon himself and he starts doing rotations around the Frito-Lay plant, all this stuff. He really liked the production, the whole nine yards. Well, one day he had a bag of Cheetos and he took them home. And he was inspired by street corn, which is like a big deal, like in, I guess, like in Mexican culture. I don't know if that's necessarily like a Tex-Mex thing or what, but basically it's like a spicy corn. Well, he created that on the Cheeto, which eventually became Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Ooh.
Hey, shout out to you, Richard.
And he, right? And now Richard Montañez is a VP for PepsiCo. A guy who literally started out picking grapes, has no formal education whatsoever. He just had the mindset that he was going to take ownership. And so a couple years ago, he was teaching a class at a university. And they asked him like about his education. He was like, oh, I've got a PhD. I was poor, hungry, and determined. And so I loved that. I think it was – that to me was just – really inspirational, and I hope it would encourage others to, you know, find ways to take ownership in your everyday life of how you operate, and you know, at a small level, obviously, there, but what it can do to help you grow as a person and as a believer and whatever your field is or whatever you do. And I think that just translates to what your life could look like and how, you know, you can change the course for not just you, but your Amen. Family for generations and generations and generations.
Shout out to Spicy Rich.
Absolutely. Cause Flamin' Hot.
My life.
Absolutely. 100%. Man,
hey, I like that story.
Yeah. I wanted to share that one. I really liked it.
Yeah. That's good. So I think that's a good spot to end
yeah. on. Right, man.
Well, yeah, Dave, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to do this podcast again.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for thanks for doing this journey called life with me. And for everybody else out there, until next time, peace.